It's funny, I've become so stingy with my interviews, but I love doing it with you, mainly because I grew up with you, and it's just more intelligent and more fun.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends. Hot button issues. Best-selling author. New York Daily News columnist. Compelling. The Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Rick Riley is an old friend of mine. He is one of the great sports writers of my time in this business. He wrote one of the funniest books ever about golf called Missing Links, which is one of my favorites, and wrote Commander in Chief about how golf explains the 45th president of the United States. And he also is involved with an outstanding and important charity called Nothing But Nets, which I didn't ask him about last time, but I will today. Good morning, Mr. Riley.
Good morning. How's Florida?
Florida is fine. I'm doing too much writing, and so I am not working as hard as I should be on my golf game. And Rick, here's what I've been doing, because my youngest son has been visiting us from California, where he works for the Tennis Channel, and I play tennis with him, Rick. And here is the, tell me if you think this is a big obstacle in our matches. Everything I do in tennis, he does better, and he's 40 years younger. Can you understand, Rick, can you understand how even my fighting spirit can't win the day against him?
That's what you get for teaching him tennis.
Rick, I've been following you on Twitter over the last, I follow you on Twitter all the time, and you continue to be amused by the 45th president of the United States, and particularly his constant use of the word coup.
Yes, he, for instance, yesterday he said that the so it's the strangest world we're living in. Have you ever had a nightmare and in this nightmare it's just horrible, and you wake up in your bed and you're like, oh, thank God, it was just a nightmare. And then you realize the bed is floating in an ocean surrounded by sharks, and you realize it's a new nightmare. That's how every day is for me in this country. So yesterday, he got up and said, this investigation that the head, the chief attorney of the United States declared on his own intelligence agencies, started an investigation into his own intelligence agencies, and they came back 3 months later and said, no, it was all legit. There was a reason for this. There was nothing underhanded. And he takes that report and says, well, it's pretty clear that they should have never investigated Trump, and it was all. And so then Trump looks at Barr's thing, and of course, never read the report, and says, see, it was an attempted coup.
An attempted coup.
They all got caught red-handed. What planet am I on?
Hey, Rick, Taylor Lupica does not follow this stuff as closely as you and I might. So we're watching the Today Show this morning, and she's looking at Trump's version of the Inspector General's report, and she turned to me quite seriously and said, but that's not what it said. And I said, yes, honey, it's true that we're just having another down is up and up is down moment. And then he says this about his own FBI director. And Rick, if he fires Christopher Wray, this would be a world's record, I think, for presidents firing FBI directors. I don't know what report current director of the FBI Christopher Wray was reading, but it sure wasn't the one given to me. Yes, it was. It was exactly what was given to you.
I know. How long was Hoover the FBI director? 30 years?
Oh, God, yeah,
guys
forever.
Barely get their plants on the desk, and they're out. Some other stuff came out this week, Mike, and I was particularly amused because my book is about how he sees the whole world through the lens of golf. He wears golf-colored lenses. So Commander-in-Chief,
right,
it's mostly laughs, but it's actual stories. Hundreds and hundreds of people told me crazy stories about how he cheats as a player, he cheats on his handicap, he cheats to win these fake 20 club championships, most of which were never open to anyone else. He was the only player except Melania, and he declares himself the club champion. Sometimes he just saw who won when he came back from a road trip and said, oh, Joe Schmertz. I beat him all the time, and suddenly Joe Schmertz's name comes down and his name goes up. So this book, so ever since the book came out, Mike, I've had to close my car windows to keep people from telling me more stories. Everybody's got a story because he's one of the worst cheats ever, and he doesn't hide it well. Well, now I've had three people tell me this one, which is I called him on it because I said, you can't move your ball in the rough like that. He said, look, I cheat on my taxes. I cheat on my wife. You don't think I'm going to cheat at golf? So everything is with golf. So a Washington Post story came out by David Fahrenthold, who's just been great on this. And he finally got the maids, these maids who had fake green cards working at Bedminster, to tell about life. And they said, each day I had to have two canisters of this orange makeup bronzer he likes to put on. And he puts it all over his face, and then he goes out and plays golf, but it gets all over his white golf shirts. So I have to have seven white golf shirts ready, and the pro shop has to send out more white golf shirts because the bronzer gets on the shirt. And then, according to the Washington Post, he sees Melania's dad on the golf course wearing a red MAGA hat. So why wouldn't Melania's dad love Trump? Using chain migration, he got him over, you know, and made him American citizen. So he's wearing the hat. Trump flips the F out, pulls all the 12 Secret Service carts, the porta bomb that they throw him in case there's a bomb, the vials of blood, the chief of staff, they all go over there so Trump can yell at him to take off the effing hat and get off the course because he's the only one that gets to wear the hat.
What are we doing? It's Rick, this, what you just told me about just the cheating element of this, it reminds me of something I once witnessed. I won't tell you it doesn't matter what television executive was. It was a television executive. And we were at an event, and Don Imus looked at the guy and he said, "You're the phoniest person I've ever met." And the guy looked at him, he said, "I am who I am." And once he says that, Rick, where do you go? There is no response to that. And that's pretty much the way Trump is about cheating. How about last week? And I promise I'm going to get Riley to talk about golf and sports today. Okay. How about last week with the thing about, you know, there's a thing called the light bulb, but they don't make the light bulbs the way they make your skin look orange. And I don't like to look orange. And I'm thinking, yes, it's those light bulbs, those newfangled light bulbs that make the Clemson football uniforms look as orange as they are. How come it doesn't make the rest of us look like a clementine?
It's not the light bulbs. It's the two canisters of orange bronzing makeup that the maid puts out for you, dude. That's what it does. I mean, hey, but if you want to talk about cheating, we got a cheating scandal on our hands in the Bahamas. Patrick Reed not only brushed the sand. So for people that know, when you're
you got to explain this. Without making it sound like inside baseball, explain waste bunkers and how you can ground your club.
Well, at any golf course, you see these sand traps, and they're really hard to get out of. But when you're in the sand trap, you cannot touch the club to the sand
right
until the actual stroke. Until the down blow of the stroke. If right. you do, it's because otherwise guys would do what we call excavating, which is like, oh, let me build this up so it's on a tee. Which, by the way, I don't people don't know this. Donald Trump's caddies, he has his caddies carry 4-inch green tees so that they can hurry ahead when he hits it in the rough. Use these green tees, tee up the ball in the rough. This is a new story. And hit driver out of the rough because people can't see the tee and they just think he got a great lie.
Wait a minute, that wasn't in the book.
It's in the new chapter coming for the paperback.
Okay.
There's so many more stories. Okay, so anyway, back to the bunkers. You cannot excavate and set up your fluff up your ball by taking away sand. So Reed, with the camera behind him,
yeah,
pulls the club back on a practice swing. and dislodges a bunch of sand. Now, anybody else would have immediately called it and said, okay, hey, I just screwed up. You got to charge me two shots there. They'd have called over their playing partners and told them.
Right.
But he didn't. That was his practice swing. Now he sets up for the real swing and does it again. Yeah. Now, you can say, well, maybe he didn't realize. But when you do it twice, of course you realize, because sand goes flying back. Hits the shot. Of course they see it on replay. And not even slow-mo. Everybody saw it. And it's just one of the most vile examples of cheating I've seen on the PGA Tour. And it doesn't sit well with his reputation of having cheated when he was a college player at Augusta, Georgia. And his teammates called him a cheater there. He was a couple instances there. Now, in golf, cheating is like taking your mother into Times Square and hitting her with a baseball bat. You'd rather lose every match, every score, than cheat. Because golf is the easiest sport to cheat at. We don't have umpires. We don't have refs. It's always been that way. My dad, your dad, it's always been you don't cheat at golf. You don't cheat your friends. You don't cheat your brother. It doesn't matter if you shoot 110, you don't cheat. Well, this rule never apparently got to Trump or to Patrick Reed. So Reed said, oh, no, it was the camera angle made it look worse than it. What? And now, so then Tiger picks him now.
Yeah.
And he's on the President's Cup team, which starts here in a couple of days. And his teammates are got to be in a really tough spot because everybody knows he cheated. He has a reputation as a cheater. And now it's a team sport down there in Australia. And what are they going to say? No, he didn't cheat. He's a good guy. He's not a good guy. There's a reason they call Patrick Reed table for one. Nobody likes him. Nobody will go to dinner with him. And now Tiger's picked him. And so I figure Tiger's got to be his playing partner because nobody likes Patrick Reed.
Author of the New York Times bestseller, Commander in Cheat, How Golf Explains Trump. Rick Riley is my guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. More of our conversation right after this from Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. By the way, I'm just thinking as you say that, I'm talking to Rick Riley on the Mike Lubega podcast. This year, because Reed is on the team, we should call it the 45th President's Cup, okay? Because it seems like, if I'm hearing you correctly, that Trump has at least found his partner for the next member guest at Mar-a-Lago.
I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of which, the last President's Cup in New Jersey, I don't know if you remember this, Trump came. Trump came.
Yes, he did.
He was the first president American president ever to go. And he's a huge golf fan. He really does know golf. He doesn't give a damn about the rules, but he knows all the players. Players have come to the White House. There's a great story in the book about seven players coming to the White House. And they, my golf guys, it was like 8 o'clock at night. And, hey, let me take you upstairs. And he takes the seven of them, knocks on this door. Melania, are you decent? But it's a different bedroom than the one he's already showed them. And 2 minutes go by, yes. And she comes to the door. And the guys I talked to said, well, she was fabulous looking, but it looks like they sleep in different bedrooms. Anyway, so Patrick Reed. So Trump last President's Cup in New Jersey, came. And do you remember what he said? He said the victory that America's had in this, he presented the trophy and to the American team, saying this is for the residents of Texas, the hurricanes in Texas and in Puerto Rico. And in this sort of still, a man hollered out from the crowd, "You don't give a shit about Puerto Rico." It was just one of these moments we're living.
Hey, it's like, Rick, the legendary story about the old Madison Square Garden. And as you know, there was a wonderful, he was a head of boxing there, and a wonderful PA announcer named John Francis Xavier Condon, who is one of the great New Yorkers I have ever met in this business. And he took me in, and he ran boxing beautifully all the way at the Garden. Okay. But he also had this lovely sing-song voice as a public address announcer.
Yes.
And one night, they're getting ready for the start of a Rangers game, and John F.X. Condon says, "And now for our national anthem, Gladys Gooding," who used to play it on the organ. And from the blue seats, you hear the following: "Gladys Gooding, eat shit." And there's just the slightest pause, and Condon goes, "Nevertheless," is that the story you thought I meant?
Yeah, I mean, you cleaned it up, but it's a great story. Have you ever heard the Madison Square Garden story of Frazier Ali? I think it was 1971. Frazier Ali won, and guy comes running up from what street is that, Mike?
33rd. Yeah.
33rd. So 33rd. He's got and there's a young guy, maybe 25 years old, and he's in a great hurry. He's going over, and he's got this. He's got the box with the gloves in it. He says, "Here's the gloves. And we got delayed. The gloves are here, and I got to get down there to give him the gloves." And the guard goes, "Nice try, kid. We're in the second round already."
Talking to Rick Riley. All right, listen. We'll get to college football, but before we do, Rick, talk about this. This thing you did to raise money for malaria nets in Africa. And then the reason charity is in my mind today is because my friend Pete Frates, who didn't invent the ice bucket challenge, but became the face of it and the driving force of it. I just finished writing a column for MLB about him, I'm full of thoughts like this today. Did you not raise originally 100,000 for nothing but nets, and that the number has grown to $47 million?
Well, let me tell it quick. I'm in Venice with my daughter on spring break, and she has now chopped my legs off. I can't shop any goddamn more. So I'm like, keep shopping. She's 17 years old, and I'll go back to the room. In the room, I see a BBC documentary about malaria. And they were saying this disease is so easily stopped. It's only the mosquito only comes out between midnight and 4. If people in sub-Saharan Africa could just sleep under a bed net, the mosquito wouldn't get through. The mosquito couldn't get them. I'm like, you're kidding. How much is a bed net? And the guy goes, you'd be surprised at the price of the bed net. It's $10. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Sports fans love nets, right? You know, cut down the net.
Yep, yep.
Jump over the tennis net. Girls in fish nets. I don't know. New Jersey nets. Fishing. Oh, we love nets. I said, so I wrote a column. I said, let's call it nothingbutnets.net. We put it on the United Nations Foundation website, the thing started by Ted Turner. Remember, he gave $1 billion, covered all the overhead. And they said, sure, knock yourself out. So we put a little square on that website. And I said, look, if you've ever loved a net, send me $10 and you'll save a kid's life. And actually, a whole family usually sleeps under one net. And in fact, don't buy the new Britney Spears CD and right. Save two lives, right? You could do $20. So in the first week, we got $100,000. And the United Nations Foundation said, this thing is great. Let's take it over. And so since then, we've been at the United Nations Foundation. We just passed $60 million. We've got the cost of a net down to $6. That's 10 million nets. We put all over sub-Saharan Africa. And it takes 41 seconds. You go to nothingbutnets.net. All we ask is $10. And it's a great Christmas gift. And how often can you give a gift that actually saves the life of a kid, or maybe one or two or three, four kids? It's a lovely thing. Now, something else might happen, but this is a no-brainer. You don't have to. We're not looking for a cure. It's no warlord is going to steal these nets because they don't care about them. Nothing's going up anybody's nose. There's no corruption. It's $10 saves a life. So we hope you do it.
We're joined by my friend Rick Riley. More of our conversation in just a minute. But first, a word from our sponsor, Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. But stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. Geico didn't come along just when they started doing these awesome television commercials. And anytime you need help, you speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of here. All right. So I'm talking to Rick. It's 8 o'clock Pacific time. When you sit down and write today, if you sit down and write today, what are you working on right now?
Well, I'm still working on that chapter for the paperback, which comes out in April.
But if there's all this new stuff is in it, this is going to be a pretty long. It's going to be a pretty long chapter.
No, I've learned. Keep the chapters short, right?
Yeah.
So I'm writing movies. Yeah. And I got my next book idea, which I don't want to talk about because maybe
No.
Apart.
I don't want ideas. I just want to know if you're working on a book. I want you to be.
You don't need ideas.
Well, yeah, I know. All right, let's talk about the President's Cup for a minute, because you should have a doctorate in tigerology, okay? You covered him. You saw him at his very best. You've seen him at his worst. Rick, so here's my question to you. Are you buying the new and improved and outgoing and friendlier version of Tiger Woods?
20%. 20%. For instance, now he's going to write his autobiography after all these years.
Yep.
So many guys thought they were going to get it. It looks like it's going to go to a friend of mine, J.R. Moringer, who is just a fantastic writer, doesn't know anything about golf. But Moringer's the guy that wrote Agassi's book,
yes,
which is maybe the greatest sports autobiography ever. I mean, Agassi gave him 2 hours a day in this house he used to own with Brooke Shields for a year. So you can imagine how much good stuff. And then
comments about Mr. Lupica in that book, but it didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It was a great book, but yeah. And you know what I said about it, Rick? And there are guys that you have encountered in sports like this. If I were Andre Agassi and I were writing about me, I would have said those things too.
Well, you're a good man. But anyway, I think JR is going to find out that Tiger is not going to be forthcoming.
Right.
I don't think he's going to tell us how he got busted for prescription pills twice on the side of a road. I don't think he's going to tell us how he had at least 14 affairs when he was already married to a Swedish bikini model. I mean, I don't think he's going to tell us why he didn't sign autographs or pick up or ever pay his part of the check or why he doesn't tip. I mean, there's a lot of things not to like about Tiger. Now, having said that, he does seem happier. He's playing some fantastic golf. He nearly won in the Bahamas last week. But he's going to this President's Cup, which you and I know is a non-event, unless you're a golf freak like me, and I'm going to watch every shot, of course.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be a complete walkover. Have you seen the international team?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a bunch of people that playing their first. I don't even know some of these names, and I cover golf pretty well. And yet he's going to play.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge mistake. There hasn't been an American captain at all play in presidents or writers since Hale Irwin. And he picked himself. It wasn't like he qualified. So I think it's a huge mistake because it'd be like, hey, I'm the bride getting married. And also I'm going to play in the band. I'm going to do all the cooking. You just can't do it all. He doesn't need himself, but I think he wants to show these guys how good he really is. And he really is awful, awful at Ryder Cups, but really good at President's Cup. Who knows why? I guess because the President's Cup is a dumb event. I mean, imagine this, America versus all the countries that aren't in Europe. So right. It makes no sense. There's no real, let's all get together, countries that aren't Europe or America, and have some real esprit de corps. But they should win it easily. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But they don't even need Brooks Koepka, who's out with a knee injury. They're gonna walk easily away with this. But the interesting thing is this Reed thing. Because if you remember at the Ryder Cup in 2018 in Paris, I was there, Patrick Reed was awful. He couldn't find a fairway with a map. And then at the end of it, he said, yeah, okay, I lost every match. Although he did win his singles match. I lost because he didn't, Jim Furyk didn't put me, he didn't put me with Spieth.
Right.
He put me with Tiger, and he and Spieth had done well before, but he and Tiger had done well. And it was just complete excuse-making. So Spieth said, no, I felt I had a better chance with Justin Thomas. So now, as we get ready for the pairings, it should be interesting, right? Does he put him with himself? How is he going to make the pairings when he's trying to make putts? I mean, he's got, Freddie Couples and Zach Johnson as assistant captains, but, they picked Tiger to be the captain because – he knows what he's doing, but he's not going to know what's going on when he's trying to figure out how to hit a 7-iron. I think it's a big mistake.
I'm talking to Rick Riley on the Mike Lupica podcast. And by the way, the great thing about the golf gods that neither one of us mentioned is Patrick Reed lost that tournament because of the 2-stroke penalty for excavating the waste bunker.
I thought it should have been a 4-stroke penalty. He did it twice.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lupica podcast with sports writer and author Rick Riley is being sponsored by Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Rick, when I was reading about Tiger Woods, okay, and the book, all right, I just, because you alluded to it, but I want to read you the statement when they announced the book, okay? Yeah. I've been in the spotlight for a long time, and because of that, there have been books and articles and TV shows about me, most filled with errors, speculative, and wrong. He's talking about you, Riley. Okay, wait, let me, and I'll go on, okay? This book is my definitive story. It's in my words and expresses my thoughts. It describes how I feel and what's happened in my life. I've been working at it steadily. Yeah, okay. And I'm looking forward to continuing the process and creating a book that people will want to read. Now, wait, Rick, here's what his editor at HarperCollins, Shannon Welch, said. She's delighted to discover how much he has to say and how eager he is to say it. Take it away, Riley.
Well, it's kind of like if Putin did a book. Yeah, it's the book he wants to write. But how much of it is going to be real and true and have any bearing to honesty? So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it will be great. I think he's going to have a great writer. And maybe he'll really talk. I'd love to hear about his dad. I'd love to hear about how he felt as a you know, a 19, 20-year-old phenom that just took the world by storm. What's the pressure like? When you're playing with Tiger Woods or out with Tiger Woods, it's like the last day of Saigon. There's helicopters. There's people walking through bunkers. There's, for instance, for the President's Cup, they think there's going to be 25,000 people there. 20,000 of them will be trying to watch Tiger. So how does it feel living with that? Why is he not friends with Stevie Williams anymore? I mean, they were such a great team. Why did he fire Fluff? Why has he rejiggered his swing 3 times? Why has he had 4 swing coaches when Nicklaus never had one?
What happened with Butch? You know that? Yeah, right. Kind of stuff.
Right. But what happened with your wife? What happened with so much stuff? So I would love to read a terrific book by Tiger Woods. I mean, he is the most unexamined superstar we've ever had. I mean, when's the last time you saw 60 Minutes do a piece with Tiger Woods in his house? He never lets people in.
Right.
And that's just kind of how he is with fans. He's in a little way, he's kind of like Jordan, although he swore up. Jordan and Barkley thought they were his friends, and after the scandal, he stopped returning their calls. So he's just not a guy that. You remember Jordan at the Barcelona Olympics, and every night Barkley would be out, and we'd all be walking along with him along the Ramblas.
Yep.
Jordan never left the hotel room, flew over his high school buddies, and they played poker every night. I mean,
right.
He could have been in Atlanta. He didn't care. So Tiger's that kind of guy that just has stayed close with his high school and college buddies. And not let anybody in, let alone the press. So I'm looking forward to it if it's going to be good. But my bet is 10-1 against.
You know, I we'll never get to the bottom of this, Rick. And again, I don't talk about things that I don't know. But what I do know, and it's verifiable, why when he was having knee problems with all of the orthopedic guys in the United States, did he have to go to Dr. Anthony Galea in Canada and bring him down to Florida? The guy who was the patron saint of HGH.
Yeah. What makes you think he'll tell us?
No.
It's his book. He doesn't have to do any of that. How about this? Why? How devastating was the loss of his father? Did it have anything to do with why he started training with the U.S. Army Rangers?
Right.
Parachuting with the Sky Team, trying to be a Navy SEAL, busted up his knee doing that. Does he regret that when he should have just... No golfer in the middle of his career suddenly starts trying to be a U.S. Army Ranger. I mean, he literally thought about becoming a U.S. Army Ranger.
Right.
And the interviews that people have said off the record is like, the guy was kind of pretending. Who is he kidding? But, I mean, he's probably our most fit golfer we've ever had. I suppose he had a shot at it, but you're at the peak of your career. And it really wrecked his career for a long time.
Rick Riley is our guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. More with Mr. Riley in a moment. But first, this from our sponsor, Geico. Listen, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. By the way, the one great Michael story and Tiger on the golf course after the fall, okay, when they were still playing golf together, there was a point in the round where Michael looked over and Tiger was on his phone. And Michael said, still texting, huh? That really worked out great for you the last time around. Because, that's Mike, as beautiful. You know, Michael's the greatest trash talker of all time. He's the greatest trash talker of all time. We're talking to Rick Riley. Hey.
How about, what about Reggie Miller?
Oh, God. You know what? I did an Esquire piece once on Reggie Miller And Rick, one of the most fun days I ever had was just walking up and down streets in Manhattan with Reggie and seeing his interaction with New York sports fans and Knicks fans. But he was great. I love Reggie Miller. I don't know what you think about him. I always loved Reggie Miller, even when he was public enemy number one again with the Knicks and Spike.
Reggie Miller. But you know who's terrific? Mike, Draymond Green. Last time I was covering the war with the Warriors, we were at Madison Square Garden, and some guy's just giving him hell from, like, the 25th row, right? And Green's like, ah, hey, dude, it's too bad you don't make enough money to come down some to a seat where I can hear you.
Pretty good. Hey, listen, Rick did a lot of writing in Denver, Colorado. I'm just going to ask you some random questions, then I'm going to release you back to your work, okay? How are you with Elway? I don't have any idea what your relationship with him is. He going to survive with the Broncos?
Absolutely. So John and I are friends, talk a lot, and he is. It's ironic, isn't it? This would be like Wolfgang Puck can't find any good chefs, right? Yeah. He's one of the greatest. I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. He has failed miserably over and over in trying to find a new quarterback.
Right.
He did find Peyton Manning. And last year they won a Super Bowl where Manning could move about the speed of a rubber tree,
right,
couldn't throw it, and still won on the strength of Von Miller and one of the greatest defenses ever. But he's had Paxton Lynch and just absolute failures. But in the last 2 weeks,
this guy
Drew Lock, and we're calling him Buzz Lightyear because he does that laser thing with his arm like Buzz Lightyear did in Toy Story. And he's 2-0. And he had 300-something yards.
Rick, he's not just
2-0 over the Texans. What?
Rick, he's not just 2-0. We all looked up Sunday afternoon and saw that he had gone into Houston and was beating the Texans 38-3.
I know. He's 2-0 with a bad team that's at the bottom. Imagine now if Elway can start getting him some receivers, because they found a couple of receivers, but if they can repair the defense. So yes, Elway will survive. Elway is a god. I mean, that'd be like going to Mount Olympus and saying, Zeus, you're out. He's never going to be out. They might, if he gets sick of it, and there are times when he does get sick of it because he takes it so hard. I mean, after he lost, you know, we can't go to – he sits at dinner and just stares at his plate. You know, he just takes it so hard every loss. People criticize him, and he knows he deserves it. He blew it on some really bad draft picks. So, but I think he might have found one here. Obviously, in the NFL, the Colin Kaepernick rule, after a year, they get tape on you and figure you out. That's kind of what happened to Kaepernick. It happened to a lot of quarterbacks. So hopefully they won't figure out Drew Lock, and maybe he's found somebody.
Were you on Saturday night? I don't know how much you follow the college football thing, but there was a chance at halftime of Wisconsin, Ohio State, that we were going to have that chaotic doomsday scenario where Wisconsin was going to win. And then the committee, which they only had to mail, as long as Ohio State won, all they had to do was mail in the four seats and decide whether they wanted to make LSU or Ohio State number one. Okay. And right, now it's 21-7 Wisconsin. And Rick, I had no skin in the game, but I always root for chaos and for about 40 minutes until Ohio State turned back into Ohio State. They obviously were scaring the shit out of the committee.
Of course, as a sports writer, chaos is our best friend.
Yeah.
So I was rooting for it, too. And since my son went to Wisconsin, I was rooting for the Badgers. But it didn't happen. But let me ask you this. How can Clemson be 3 and Ohio State 2? And Ohio State is supposed to be the greatest team to come along since sliced bread. And Clemson's favorite.
I noticed this yesterday, and I'm the worst on point spreads. You know, my sons will tell me what the spread is on a game and know a little more about that than I would like that they know. Okay. But when I saw this yesterday, here's all that I can figure, because Rick, I call the ACC the AFC East of college football. Okay. Except this year, it's the NFC East of college football. And, yeah. And clearly people don't care how bad the level of competition is. They think Dabo's team is great. They think Trevor Lawrence is great. And that is why the number one and number two thing was so important on Sunday. Cause guess what? Bob Ryan's been saying this for months. You know what Dabo's been saying? Come to Papa. Yeah, go ahead. Disrespect us. Talk about the score of the ACC championship game. Come to Papa. And Rick, how surprised will you be if Clemson wins again?
Not surprised. And I'm always amazed by that, too. The ACC is pretty weak. By the way, the Big Ten isn't that strong, so people don't seem to ever notice that. But the Clemson still has a fantastic offense. The defense has changed. But I still am picking Clemson in this thing to win it all because it's kind of like the Patriots. You know, until someone shows me they can beat the Patriots are king. And this is what my thing is with the Democrats. I don't give a crap. You can give me all your platforms and great, fantastic ideas. You got a plan for that. What is your plan for beating one of the greatest campaigners I've ever seen who can lie, who gives the people whatever they want to hear? Trump is like the guy in when you were in high school, the jock who ran on the platform of free pizza for everybody and no more tests. And people, you know, and he wins. So give me a plan for how you're going to beat Trump. So you tell me how you're going to beat Clemson because they've been the best team now for 2 years, 3 years.
Do you ever find yourself feeling bad for or rooting for either of the two guys I'm now going to mention, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban?
Never. Do you?
It's a little different with Belichick because I knew him when he was Parcells' top sergeant with the Giants. Okay. And I'll tell you this story real quick and then I promise to release you. Okay. Before the Broncos and the Seahawks are going to play the Super Bowl in New Jersey, I always am amused when people would talk about the Peyton Brady rivalry. And I would always tell people, no, that's not the rivalry. The rivalry is Belichick versus Peyton because it was his job to have to figure out a way to stop Peyton Manning. So I called the Patriots and Stace James and I said, listen, tell Bill all I want to talk about is him and Peyton. Okay, I said, that's it. I don't want to ask about Spygate. I don't give a shit. Okay, want to talk about, and Rick, we were on the phone for about 45 minutes, okay?
All off the record.
No. This was for a column. He knew it was for a column. Wow. How he had, looked for ways to beat Peyton over the years, okay? And out of those 45 minutes, I swear to God, I might have spoken for three. I wanted to say to people, I wish you could have heard this conversation because all the football in him came pouring out. Oh, the coach's son.
Okay.
And he would say, Mike, I'd watch a game against the Chargers. And the same play, the same cadence, and he'd run the same play, except he changed the cadence from week to week. And it's like all of that stuff, okay? I had just this slight one time. I go to a spring training game 2 years ago up in Jupiter, and I see Dennis Eckersley, who's one of my favorite people on the planet. And he's waving me down to a box, okay? Because I'd gone up to see Chris Sale pitch for the Red Sox. And I walk in, and here's La Russa and Belichick and Eck. Now, Rick, that's a good spring training afternoon, okay?
Yeah, and right there. Y'all get to sit there.
And I said, I tried to ask Belichick a few baseball questions, thinking this is a column that could write itself. He just kept saying, no, I get all of my baseball stuff from Tony. And at one point, somebody had just been traded in baseball. And Belichick turns to La Russa and he said, well, in baseball, if somebody gets traded and they don't want to go, what happens? And La Russa looked at him and he said, Bill, it doesn't work that way. He said, if they get traded and they don't want to go, they don't get to play anymore. And Belichick goes, oh, okay, got it. And I'm thinking he's just locked into this thing that he's done better than anybody else. So I'm a little...
Well, let me tell you my Belichick story.
Okay.
Super Bowl somewhere, I can't remember, maybe Miami. The Patriots weren't in it. And you know how all the coaches come down. And we're at some deal where... we're at some party. So it was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit party, and they invited some of the coaches. Belichick shows up.
Yeah.
So I'm over talking to somebody on the one side of the room, and my wife is over on the other side of the room, one-on-one with Belichick. And I can't get out of my thing because it's an interview, and I probably have to talk to 50. And the whole time, my wife is talking to Bill Belichick. And I'm like, my wife doesn't know the first thing about sports. What possibly... Bill Belichick is the hottest coach in the league.
Right.
And so I finally break away. She says her goodbyes to Belichick. She comes over. I'm like, oh, my God. What did Belichick say? She goes, who? The guy you were talking to, Bill Belichick. You were talking to for 15 minutes. I need some, it would be great for my story. What do you got? And she's like, I don't know. We were talking about the Armenian genocide. What? Yeah, this guy really knows his history. He was fascinating. I'm like, Bill Belichick on the Armenian genocide? Oh, yeah, he really knew it. Because she's a history teacher. I'm like, wow. And he's one of the more informed people I've talked to.
Rick Riley, the book is called Commander in Chief. Now you've made me want to know what's going to be in the paperback version. He did the thing that we've spent a lot of our adult lives doing. He did as well as anybody I've ever known. And if you ever see him at an event or as an after dinner speaker, and I was lucky enough the night I got inducted into the Sports Media Hall of Fame, Riley was the MC and made the whole experience just particularly for my sons who just would have faked their own deaths to get out of, listen to their father's speech that night. But they said, Dad, you were good, but Rick was great. And so
yeah, excellent taste. Well, the good thing about it, I got it done early. That's never happened.
Well, no, you did that. You presented me. Well, I mean, I had to stay till the end anyway, but you didn't save me till last that night. You allowed me to go on like in the middle of the program, right?
Well, we needed a boost.
We needed a little boost. Hey, Rick, this is why I love to have you on, because I don't know what we were supposed to talk about today, but we talked about the stuff that we wanted to talk about. Thank you, my friend.
I could do it all day. Thanks so much, Mike.
The great Rick Riley, again, he wrote so beautifully for SI. He wrote so beautifully for ESPN.com. If you haven't read Missing Link, it's one of the funniest golf books of all time. But if you have not read Commander in Cheat about Donald Trump and his relationship with golf, I urge you to get it, even if you cannot wait until the paperback. This is why we have fun doing this. Continue to download, subscribe, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.